Welcome back, Weekend Breakfast. Allison Curtis with you. Today, FM, as promised this Mother's Day, Dervla Meskel has joined me. Dervla, you are a very famous mother.
Oh, yeah, I'm a mom. I'm a mom of three. But yeah, one of them is probably best known. Yeah.
Well, it's another one of yours was on my show, actually, Nell. Yes. Very appreciative of her time early in her career. And it's just, you must be so proud because you have three stars, absolute stars, and all of their trajectories are high.
All doing their thing in the world. And yeah, I mean, Nell, I think, is my brave one. She's kind of like my twinkling light, because I think for singer-songwriters, you're writing about your life. Mm-hmm. And you're singing your diary, basically. You know, any song that you hear is bearing witness to themselves. I think actors, obviously they bring their whole self to it, but they're doing somebody else's words. They're acting in a direction. They're being mm-hmm. told how to do it. Whereas I think a singer-songwriter stands there and is in their whole being telling mm-hmm. you, their heart has been broken a number of times, or whatever it is they're singing about. Yeah.
She has a beautiful voice. Before we do get to your book, obviously you yourself had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago. And one of the moments that I really loved what you speak about is like when, you know, Paul, your son, was like, again, his trajectory was going up. And one of the things you really wanted to do was to go and be on the red carpet with him. And just, I love that moment you describe your doctor going, you can go to the ball. Like that moment. Yeah. You must really
and
that moment.
So real. Like, I mean, it was so surreal. I mean, Paul gets the nomination. We're in the throes as a family. Even though I had publicly gone out about my cancer, what you see, I mean, I think this is really important for everybody to know, that when we look into social media and into the void of our phones, what we're seeing is what people want you to see. So people are sharing a part of them. They're not sharing the whole of them. And so, yes, I publicly went through the steps of my cancer, but obviously there was private family moments where, you know, we were just doing our ordinary family life of just, yes, it's hard or whatever it was. And so when Paul gets nominated and then he says, Mom, will you be my plus one? Mm. I'm in the middle of preparing for stem cell treatment. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to say yes. And what's really wonderful, I think, well, definitely from my experience of cancer, is doctors want you to live the best life you can, even during treatment. Mm-hmm. So you're, I know my doctor asked me, you know, I had to have my stem cell harvesting, and we were spending our first Christmas together away from Ireland. And he made sure that I could have my harvesting and then go to England, because Paul was in a play and he couldn't leave the country. So we all went to him for the Christmas. So he made sure I was able to be with the kids at Christmas. And then the nomination. And then he said to me, well, I mean, literally, if you could picture it any other way, except that he had a wand and he said, we're going to make it work. You shall go to the ball. And, you know, Patrick Hayden, I mean, if you knew him, he's so humble and so he quietly sits in his space doing incredible work. And when he turned to me, he just had this gorgeous smile, and he just had there's no desk. He doesn't sit at a desk. So right. You're sitting in this space with him. And he just, I mean, literally, if I could, you know, if people see me, I'm waving my wand, because that was kind of his action with me. So
it's incredible. So the book, Dervla, is Finding Joy and Words to Capture the Beauty of Ordinary Life. I think it's important to say that this, am I right in saying that this moment for you, you decided that you were going to do this and put this into practice in your own day-to-day life pre-cancer diagnosis?
Oh, yeah. This, somebody said to me that they now know the age of my middle child more than anybody else, because it started, so I have three children. So it's the middle child, you're juggling three humans doing their busy lives. At this point, the boys had kind of chosen their sports. So there was, Donika was playing football and rugby. Paul was now just playing football. And Nell was starting doing, you know, hurling, football, choir, all the other things. So she was 12, going into first year. Donica was 14 and Paul was 17, 18, kind of coming out of the end of school and going into college. And none of them were driving. So we're the drivers, we're the taxi. And I was in the throes of being 40 something, exhausted to the point where I was always running on empty.
Yeah.
But able to run on empty. It's a bit like, you know, when your car says to you, it's got 10 kilometers to go and you're going, oh, okay. And like, you nearly try and lift yourself off the seat of the car to hope that it maybe make yourself lighter and the car will go further. So it was a bit like that. It was that whole, how much more can you pile on?
Yeah.
Because that's what I was doing. I was just piling on. And I'm lucky, and I've said it lots of times, I do come from a place of half, my glass is half full.
Same.
But I think, you know, and it's a wonderful place to be because, you know, lots of people don't. And so I'm very aware. And probably part of this was I was afraid that my joy meter was absolutely sipping away.
Yeah.
So basically there was a leak in my cup and I wasn't topping it up. I had oxygen masks on everybody else.
Yeah.
I was, I am a people pleaser. I work on that. You know, I'm trying very hard not to need your likes and not to function on them. I've done a lot of work.
I think that resonates with a lot of people, Dervla, listening this morning, that would resonate for sure.
Yeah. And it's, and I think you come to be aware of it. Well, I came to be aware of it in just as I turned 50, you know. And so I started to do, I challenged myself after a conversation on the side of the pitch, because I knew that if I didn't start filling my cup, my car was going to pull over and it wasn't going to restart.
Yeah.
So I was on Facebook at the time and I did a 28-day challenge to myself, but I did it publicly. Now, I didn't have followers. Like, you know, it was the same people I was meeting on pitches.
Still,
it was just...
It made you accountable, though.
It exactly. And I think that was what I wanted to do. I wanted it to be an accountable process of opening my heart, being vulnerable, because I was reading Brené Brown at the time, and I still read her. She's just incredible. And leaning into my vulnerability,
yeah,
which I think most of us are afraid of. Most
but
of us.
There can be relief in that, though.
Huge relief. Like, yeah. As soon as I said out loud, I'm exhausted. Or like I did a talk on Sunday last for International Women's Day and I sat in the room and I don't have microphones. This is all kind of new to me. And I these bunch of wonderful humans sitting in front of me and the authentic me just started to speak. And I said, I'm terrified. My mouth is like there's a bee in it.
Yeah.
I lent into the vulnerability and it is the most incredible thing when you tell somebody, anyone in the supermarket or wherever it is, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with this or I'm not too sure how to handle this part of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That I think we think everybody's going to judge us. I think that's the premise that we fear, that we're going to be judged as bad parents because we have a moment that we don't know what to do with a child or whatever it is. That actually people are all going, oh my God, that's exactly what's happening to me. And I think when Finding Joy landed, you know, it started, you know, my 28 days started to evolve, people started to engage. And I mean, it wasn't profound. They're not profound joys. They were absolutely magnificent to me, but they
They're
weren't
accessible joys.
Exactly. And yeah. I just kept building on it. And there were days where it was really, really hard.
Yeah. Dervla, you know, I have to say, like, I'm holding up the book now. I hope you know what it looks like. It's your book.
I love
the cover. I feel, because in my life personally, my sister and I lost parents when we were still teenagers, that kind of inspiration to find joy, maybe I didn't figure it out in my 20s or even halfway to my 30s, but certainly from halfway through to my 30s to where I am now, I do that genuinely. And this is why this resonated with me. I was like, you know, I look forward to now when I drop my daughter off at school, I found a routine with my dog and I really look forward to that, like being in the green space and watching her run around.
Yes.
It's my joy. So I do think that there's a serious empowerment, not just for moms and for women, but for everybody to be able to do that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And there's a few I just want to tell you personally that I loved. I loved Being a Girl. I Wish You Time. And I really love Wild Abandonment. So they're all featured in this book and they all really... I loved all of them, but those three in particular struck a visceral chord.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's been really interesting because I did a book signing in Manute Bookshop, and Kean was kind of the MC, we'll say, and it was asking me questions, and he had three poems that he wanted me to talk about.
Yeah.
And they were all different ones. It was the one sitting beside the bed. And what he took from that and what had happened when I wrote it were two very different things. He's a new dad who is in that process of sitting by the bed, reading stories, listening to their day when he's come in from work or whatever his day has been. And my engagement in that was my 3 a.m. wake up, menopausal, premenopausal, whatever you want to call, perimenopause, mom who wakes up at 3 a.m. and is like, oh, I can't put you to bed anymore. You're all out there in the world. What time is it in your world? And checking the world clock. And like, it's this cycle of, and remembering being able to tuck them in and remembering, you know, it's the little things that I think when we're exhausted, you know, you read the story or you say, I love you. You mean it from your heart. But when you close the door, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I just need to get a cup of tea and lie down.
Exactly.
And I think when you're sitting on the bed and maybe your child has had a difficult day, the one thing I don't want my children ever to have is shame. And it's, you know, it's one of those awful things that grow in the dark. It's like, you know, it's the scary monster in the dark.
Yeah.
When you don't know what to do with whatever has happened in your day. And so part of that particular poem was, you know, let's talk it through.
Yeah.
What you have done better. What can you fix? Is saying sorry the right, you know, what is that, what we need to do?
And Dervla, do you find that, so yours are older than mine. Mine is a teenager.
Okay.
Do you find that you could be tired, and at the end of the day is when they do actually want to start talking. I always find that I get energized when she, like, I could be like, and, you know, just, I just want to watch my murder documentary stories or whatever. And then she starts, and then you're kind of energized by it. Like, I get a lot of...
And you're trying to find the right words.
Yeah.
And sometimes not speaking at all.
Listening.
That's another one of my poems that I wrote. Sorry, it's just...
I do, yes, I know that one, yeah.
Which is, now my children are away, so conversations are done over the phone, and sometimes they don't need me to say anything.
Yeah.
They just need me to hold the space in that connection to allow them...
Exactly.
...let their worry out. And I think when they were small, like not smaller, but teenagers, and definitely because Paul is 30, Donica is going to be 27 this year, and Nell is 23 this year. Nell probably grew up more online if that makes sense, yes. Because of her generation, Paul less so, and Donica middling. I don't envy the parenting job now with the fact that their people and even the people they don't want are accessible to them all the
time. Absolutely. And
it's very scary.
Yeah.
And I think this is where we have to make sure our cup is filled, that we have that your walk in the park, and it can be the same walk.
Yeah.
It gives you a different joy. The light changes. Things starting to bud now. It's, you know, but if you, for me, it was in filling my cup, I became more present.
Yes.
Finding joy made me more present. It made me less attached to my smartwatch. It made me less attached to, even though I was using my phone to take pictures to find the joy, I was ambling.
Yeah.
I didn't ramble. I never ambled. I was always rushing. I was always a map to the next thing. And
forward, so you're not in the moment.
Oh, no, never in the moment. And
Can I ask you as well? So the one thing I want to get across today is you have three incredible children, high achieving children, and children that obviously felt supported to become who they really wanted to become. So I think as a mother, first of all, congratulations on that. That's an incredible achievement. But I know the book is the basis of finding joy. And some people listening to us today might feel overwhelmed no matter what stage they are in motherhood.
Yes.
What would you say, I guess maybe what would you say is your proudest achievement, just to give words of inspiration?
I think, oh my gosh. First of all, I was very lucky. I did it with a partner.
Yes.
And that allowed for me sometimes to be able to take the hands off and just take a breath, take a moment. I know that's not for every, you know, not everybody's doing that. I think what we did allow in our house is, and I'm very... We allowed expression of frustration. We allowed, we're cursers in our house. I allowed slammed doors.
Yeah.
I probably the first people I didn't take things personally from was my kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rest of the world, I took everything personally. One of the four agreements, don't take everything personally. But I did learn very quickly not to take it personally from my kids, that when they were angry, it was a legitimate thing that they were allowed to be angry, that dropping their school bags, disrespect's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was allowing them to have a voice at the table. They spoke, they had opinions that were different from ours. I think there's kind of 4 years between the three of my kids, near enough. And there was a period of time where I kind of went, oh my gosh, they're never going to like each other. They're not going to even know each other because they're so different and they're all so far apart.
But that's not the case.
And one of the nicest things for me is that they actually like each other, that they actually engage and talk to each other. I did do a thing which I do think was a little bit of magic. Paul was 19, maybe 20, and Donica was 18, and Nell was 15, maybe. I gifted them a trip to the Aran Islands on their own.
Oh, fantastic.
I drove them to Galway, and they got the bus to Rossaville, and they went over to the glamping, whatever was on, and it was in October. Paul was free, Donica was free, and Nell was free, and they went together.
That's fantastic.
And I do think that that's something that I never heard what happened there. I don't know. that was their thing. Nell was very young,
yeah.
So her two brothers were minding her. And it was before everything exploded in our lives. So, we didn't know it was going to explode. We didn't know anything was going to happen. And so I think that trip, I don't know.
That's lovely.
I think it was something I do say to my friends who are in that age group with teenagers, not to be afraid to let them go and not to be afraid to not say anything when they're rowing.
Yeah.
I tried not to engage in their rows. And they obviously had rows.
Yeah, of course they did. But I think that that's amazing. And I'd say some people listening in this morning will take that on board and actually take that away and put it into practice as well. Before I let you go, though, now I said this a couple of times because we both have to get on with our lives. Are you, just a total side, are you delighted that Paul is playing Paul? Or was there, did you have a favorite Beatle growing up that you would rather him have done?
Oh, God, no. No, absolutely not. I didn't. I am intrigued by this. I think it's iconic. I think it's amazing. I love the fact that he is having such fun.
Yeah.
Even the boot camp of learning the instruments with the three other lads has been incredible. And he has made friends like for life, you know? So he's really enjoying the process. It is a hard process.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's exciting though. We can't wait to see it. Dervla, thank you so much. And of course, Finding Joy. I know this is radio. I absolutely love the colors and I just love the cover. I want to frame it. it's in shops now. Dervla, thank you so much for your time and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis. Saturday from 8 and Sunday from 9 on Today FM. Today FM.